Gerald Gibson is curator of motion picture, broadcasting, and recorded sound at the Library of Congress, and he will present the body of the AAA report and then introduce the members of that committee and open up to any questions that you might have. Mr. Gibson.
Thank you. While we're finishing setting up, I will start, since time is escaping us. We've decided to approach this report today slightly differently than we have in the last, 13 years we've been taking up your time. Instead of sitting and talking to you about what we've done and ending up leaving almost no time, we'll instead do a very brief summary of what we've been undertaking in the last 7 months, and then I found out that someone else will take up our time, so that's the way it goes. Anyway, I would like to introduce briefly the members of the working group of AAA. One who is not here, if he is, Ted Sheldon from University of Missouri, Kansas City, has been particularly helpful. I thought he was joining us, but apparently he hasn't been able to make it. From the far end of the table is Don McCormick from New York Public Library, Rodgers and Hammerstein Sound Archives, Morgan Cundiff, who we still hope that we can resolve and make you a full member soon, but Morgan is representative from International Piano Archives at the University of Maryland. Rob Rusalka is from the Sound Archive at Stanford. That's right, you're still there. And Bill Storm is from the Belfer Lab and Archive at Syracuse University. And of course, I believe you all know Elwood McKee, who is the project director. And here comes Ted Sheldon. This is Ted Sheldon I mentioned. The period since the October 1986 ARS board meeting has been among the most productive 7 months since this committee came into existence in 1974. Most of our activities and accomplishments have resulted from the ongoing research project, Audio Preservation, a Planning Study, being funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities. Some of our work, however, derives from the Rigler Deutsch Record Index Project and ongoing assignments and information requested from the ARSC board. For this report today, I shall concentrate upon the current study, but I invite you, if you have questions on any other aspect of our ongoing work, to don't hesitate to ask. There have been two full-scale meetings of the planning study since the last ARSC board meeting, in California in November of 1986 and in Maryland in March of this year. A detailed report of our work, including those two meetings, is being prepared by Elwood McKee for submission to the ARSC Journal. Hopefully it can appear this summer. Highlights are only noted for this report. Part of the California meeting was in conjunction with the Audio Engineering Society's Standards Committee. At that time, a joint AES-ARSC-AAA working group on matters pertaining to audio preservation was formed under the chairmanship of Bill Storm of Syracuse University. Our group also gave a three-hour report workshop to the AES membership on November 15th. About 100 persons attended that session, and the question discussion period continued well out into the hall at the end of the session. In fact, in many ways, we're still actively continuing that discussion with AES members. The Maryland meeting was devoted primarily to reviews and reports on our research assignments, as well as adoption of a number of preliminary conclusions and policies with respect to audio preservation. The list of major topics of study which have been assigned are now being handed out. I hope most of you have copies. It is a list of 18 items. Rather than taking your time to read them to you and have you promptly forget them, there's a copy in your hand. If you have an area of particular interest or concern, please don't hesitate to ask about it. All of the researchers have reported a common problem in our ongoing work. The study of sound recordings from an archival standpoint involves a wide range of sources. Relatively little work has been done to bring these materials together in a readily accessible manner for sound or audio archives. Balancing our goal of making as comprehensive a survey of audio preservation as time and resources permit against an equally strong desire to avoid superficiality has been a major concern for all participants. It is clear that many topics will not be adequately addressed in this study, and they will require further research projects. The need for such work will constitute a major focus of our prioritized recommendations in the final report to the National Endowment of Humanities and to the ARSC Board. The cooperation which numerous institutions and individuals have extended to us is vital to the success of our project. Approximately 40 institutions have responded to our 8-page questionnaire. And if you are a member of an institution or a representative of that institution, I ask you, has your institution filled out that questionnaire? If you have any questions about it, please check with Mr. McKee or ask me later, and we'll help find out if you have. If you have not, please fill it out. It is very, very helpful if you will do so. Among the responses, there have been a large number of respondents have included detailed documentation and handouts of their policies and procedures directly pertinent to our project. Among the individuals who have and are making significant contributions to our work outside of the actual 6 AAA members are George Brocknanstead from Denmark, Morgan Cundiff, who I've introduced to you here today, and Ted Sheldon, who I've also introduced you here to today. They've attended many of our meetings at their own expense and accepted major project assignments. In addition, such persons as Alan Kalmus of the National Archives, Charles Haddix, Larry Miller, Steve Simoleon, I could keep going for quite a while here, but these people in particular have attended one or more of our sessions and have contributed significantly to our work. We want to thank you now and for your ongoing work in the future. Among the corporations and corporate structures who have been very helpful and that we've worked with are Ampex Corporation, CompuSonics, Library Corporation, Vitico, and the Sony Corporation. They have briefed our project researchers, have in many cases traveled at their own expense at our convenience to meet with us and make us aware of their products and what they're doing in the work. Plasmon Data Systems has furnished a significant package of environmental test results for their Right Once optical disc. Bill made brief reference to that yesterday. Finally, I'd take just a few more of your minutes, a little more of your time, that the AAA would not want this report to be submitted without paying tribute to our retiring ARSC treasurer, the formidable sounding name of J.F. Weber. Since 1974, he has participated in most of the AAA meetings at his own expense and has contributed substantially to our ongoing work in addition to his administrative support and work within the ARSC. The most recent projects have placed extra demands upon Jerry's voluntary contributed time since they have involved establishment of separate bank accounts. We don't really launder the money, it just looks that way, but separate bank accounts and numerous financial transactions. Maybe Ollie North could learn something from you, Jerry, I'm not sure. But a close working relationship with Jerry and the project director and the chairman, plural, of ARSC AAA has been essential over the years. In practice, it has been extremely successful, it has been productive, and it's been totally harmonious throughout. Although we expect to continue working closely with Jerry, it's only this one job he's giving up, we hope and understand. We want the board and the members of the ARSC to be especially aware of the vitally important role which he has quietly and unobtrusively played in the success, if we can believe we have had some success, but the success of ARSC AAA at this time. On behalf of the AAA, Jerry, where are you? There you are. Thank you very much. The total sum of my comments, I open it up to you with the questions and the basic topics being a point of reference, but saying you are certainly not limited to those. Do we have any questions? Yes, Mary. I will repeat the questions for the rest of the room. Yes, Mary.
I'm interested in talking about education training for sound archives. Do we have a study on that?
Okay, I will call upon various of our members to respond to that. Elwood?
Repeat the question.
I'm sorry, Pell. Mary is interested, I said I wouldn't, I didn't, thank you. Mary is interested in topic number 8. This is Mary O'Hearn from the Library of Congress, Education and Training for Sound Archivists. Elwood?
The problem of education and training for sound archivists is being investigated primarily by Ellen Johnson of the University of Kansas, who's not with us today, but has submitted a considerable amount of materials. I think the bottom line is that there is no university degree course for sound archivists yet, but we expect it to happen. There are a number of extremely good short courses, and of course there, the best courses are either those related to the library field or to the engineering field. But bringing it all together for archivists is a task that remains ahead.
I believe also the British Library, the National British National Sound Archives, has had a training program. Derek? I'm sorry, Alan, yes. How long has that been going on, Alan? Thank you, Alan. Yes, Joe?
The more practical aspect of that is that in Britain, more of the tuition is done by people who start in hospital radio, then do something for local radio, and learn it the hard way.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions related to AAA's work? Yes. Mrs. Brilowski, I believe.
Sorry.
Morgan, I think you've been doing that. The question was concerned summarizing current interest in the problems or aspects of bibliographic access. Morgan Cundall.
That's a big topic. To summarize it very briefly, I can tell you that in sound archives, bibliographic control is very poor. Surprise, surprise. And that any kind of an effective preservation program is going to be very closely bound up with effective bibliographic control. That's it in a nutshell. Institutional sound archives are very poorly cataloged.
If at all.
And the question of just inventory control when it comes to managing a mass preservation program is critical. You have to know what you have in order to make prudent decisions about what to preserve and how to preserve it, and how to manage that project, to administer it, to cost it out, etc., etc. And it's one of the biggest problems involved in preservation is the sheer lack of catalog access and inventory control of the collections. We've looked at it from many different angles, and that's a very simplistic statement to make, but I think it's generally true. Sure, that's very much part and parcel of the question. We're dealing with how archival control will relate to such things as national networks, OCLC, Arlen, and the like. But the fact is there is very little catalog control at all of archival sound collections, much less the kind of full cataloging, both in terms of content and format, that is involved with national networks.
Does that answer your question?
That's kind of a pessimistic answer. There's a lot of work to be done in that area.
Any other question? Yes, Ray.
Actually, Jerry, this is a question, not really a statement. In my work at SOFA, I realized that this is a very prominent scar here. And I was wondering if any of the members of AAA are planning any celebrations.
Well, I believe
1887 was the date of Berliner's application for the first gramophone patent. And if you had to get in on the tail end, February or March 1888 was the date of the Franklin Institute lecture, which is the thing that really kicked the gramophone off. Are any of the groups planning any celebrations? I don't have any.
We have explored it somewhat. In fact, George Brockenstedt, who could not be with us, we, the Library of Congress, have explored it somewhat. There is a problem of funding. George had proposed a very interesting panel, and in fact, he had suggested it should precede or immediately follow this conference. Being in Washington, particularly since Berliner did a lot of his work here, it would have been particularly appropriate. We still have hopes that it may take place. There is the matter of funding. Is anyone else doing so? Okay. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Bob?
I have a question regarding item 15, permission for organizations.
Okay, the question concerns item 15, professional organizations for sound archivists. Morgan, you again. By the way, the reason I'm referring to specific people here is, for the most part, we have specific assigned topics and projects in which we are the key or person responsible for bringing information back to our group and leading those discussions. We've just had two, and it's Morgan. You see why he was thanked, particularly for his participation. Morgan?
This is a big topic and a complicated topic, and it's hard for me to give you a nutshell perspective on it. But the fact is that there is no professional sound professional organization in this country that is specifically and narrowly focused with the concerns of institutional sound archives. And what this issue has to do with is to basically to find a way to carry forward the work that we're talking about in this project, that we're studying and defining. You speed it up?
Yes. You can make it shorter.
Well, okay, very in a nutshell, then let me tell you that the problems we're faced with in terms of audio preservation in institutions, they are awesome and they are overwhelming. And as a profession, one of the conclusions we're coming to is that we're basically overmatched and ill-equipped to, as it stands, to fulfill our mission of preservation and dissemination and so forth and so on, all of the kind of rhetoric we rattle off when we talk about what we do in a sound archive and preserving the sum total of man's knowledge and noble goals like that. We are basically a very young field, and we're not even sure who we are or what we're doing. We all come from different backgrounds. Just what a sound archivist or sound curator is rather ill-defined, we came to learn. The sheer mass, the physical mass, of the amount of recordings we're talking about preserving is overwhelming. The technical solutions, we're in the midst of a technological revolution that we do not always have the background to deal with, and that's where the solutions will come from, and so forth and so on. So basically, we're talking about starting a very long-term audio preservation movement. And what we're looking to do, and we haven't defined it yet, but basically what we're looking to do is to carry forward the work of this committee indefinitely into the future. And we're considering an organizational vehicle to facilitate that.
I'm informed I just got cut off. Thank you. I'm sorry it was so short, so brief. We will be around this afternoon and evening. And please feel free to corner any of us to continue any of these discussions or others that you didn't have a chance to bring. Thank you very much.